The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Pat Perry for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the News and Observer, the Triangle Business Journal, and The Week. Today's stories include Dems to unveil up to $3,600 child tax credit, and Kane Realty joins Park City South project near Dix Park. And we'll begin with Dems to unveil up to $3,600 child tax credit as part of the stimulus bill. Top House Democrats are preparing to unveil legislation that would send up to $3,600 per child to millions of Americans as lawmakers aim to change the tax code to target child poverty rates as part of President Joe Biden's sweeping $1.9 trillion stimulus package. The proposal would expand the child tax credit to provide $3,600 per child younger than 6 and $3,000 per child up to 17 over the course of a year, phasing out the payments for Americans who make more than $75,000 and couples who make more than $150,000. The draft 22-page provision reported earlier by the Washington Post and obtained by the New York Times is expected to be formally introduced Monday as lawmakers race to fill out the contours of Biden's stimulus plan. The pandemic is driving families deeper and deeper into poverty, and it's devastating, said Representative Richard E. Neal of Massachusetts, chair of the Ways and Means Committee and one of the champions of the provision. This money is going to be the difference in a roof over someone's head or food on their table. This is how the tax code is supposed to work for those who need it most. The credits would be split into monthly payments from the IRS beginning in July, based on a person's or family's income in 2020. Although the proposed credit is only for a year, some Democrats said that they would fight to make it permanent, a sweeping move that could reshape efforts to fight child poverty in America. The one-year credit appears likely to garner enough support to be included in the stimulus package, but it will also have to steer clear of a series of tough parliamentary hurdles because of the procedural maneuvers Democrats are using to muscle the stimulus package through, potentially without Republican support. With House Democratic leadership aiming to have the stimulus legislation approved on the chamber floor by the end of the month, Congress moved last week to fast-track Biden's stimulus plan, even as details of legislation are still being worked out. Buoyed by support from Democrats in both chambers and a lackluster January jobs report, Biden has warned that he plans to move ahead with his plan, whether or not Republicans support it. Republicans, who have accused Biden of abandoning promises of bipartisanship and raised concerns about the nation's debt, have largely balked at his plan because of its size and scope after Congress approved trillions of dollars in economic relief in 2020. But the child tax credit could provide an opportunity for some bipartisan support, since Senator Mitt Romney, Republican from Utah, introduced a similar measure that would send payments of up to $1,250 per month to families with children. Romney's proposal intended to encourage Americans to have more children while reducing child poverty rates, would distribute payments through the Social Security Administration, and offset cost by eliminating other government safety net spending. If you're President Biden and you're serious about having a bipartisan working together with people on the other side, bringing people together in unity, he has the opportunity to do it. Senator Patrick Toomey, Republican from Pennsylvania, said on CNN State of the Nation. Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, warned Sunday that the United States labor market was stalling and in a deep hole that could take years to emerge from if lawmakers did not quickly pass the stimulus package. Yellen rebutted concerns that big spending would lead to inflation and said the economy would face the kind of long, slow recovery that it experienced after the 2008 financial crisis if lawmakers did too little. The most important risk is that we leave workers and communities scarred by the pandemic and the economic toll that it has taken, Yellen said on CNN. We have to make sure this doesn't take a permanent toll on their lives. Yellen said that passing the stimulus package could allow the economy to reach full employment by next year. Failing to do so, she said, could leave the jobless rate elevated for years to come. The provision expanding the child tax credit is among the legislative proposals intended to address the inequities exacerbated by the pandemic and help families weather the nation's faltering economy. Researchers at Columbia University found that Biden's overall stimulus proposal could cut child poverty in half in 2021 because of the expansion of the child credit, as well as other changes to tax credits and expansions of unemployment and food assistance benefits. The moment is here to make dramatic cuts in child poverty that could improve the lives and the future of millions of children, Representative Rosa DeLauro, Democrat from Connecticut, chair of the House Appropriations Committee, said Sunday. She said she would push to make the credit permanent. And next from the week, business, the news at a glance. A Securities and Exchange Commission program that pays whistleblowers for tips has paid out $737 million to 133 people since 2012, including $114 million to one person last year. The SEC received 6,900 tips alleging white-collar malfeasance in its 2020 budget year. And that was from Bloomberg.com. President-elect Biden's choice for Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen collected more than $7 million in speaking fees over the past 2 years from major corporations and Wall Street banks. Biden's choice for Secretary of State Antony Blinken was paid nearly $1.2 million for consulting to corporations, and that was in the New York Times. Elon Musk passed Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos as richest man in the world last week. The two have traded places in the top spot several times as Tesla's share price has gyrated. Musk's net worth this week stood at $183.8 billion, $1.4 billion ahead of Bezos. And that's from Forbes.com. China's trade surplus with the U.S. hit a record high, $37.4 billion, in November, with $52 billion in exports to America. The total U.S.-China deficit for the first 11 months of 2020 was $287 billion. In a deal with Trump, China agreed to accept $172 billion in imports from the U.S., but through November reached only 51% of the goal. And that was from Bloomberg.com. According to Nielsen, 55% of Americans played video games during the first phase of lockdowns last year. Digital game sales hit $126.6 billion in 2020, and that's from TheVerge.com. Taxes, fees, and surcharges make up 22.6% of the average U.S. wireless service bill. Average monthly service bills have dropped 26% since 2008, but wireless taxes have increased 50%, and that is from CNBC.com. Corporations cutting cash to Trump loyalists. A growing boardroom boycott is threatening the GOP after last week's riot at the U.S. Capitol, said Alex Isenstadt in Politico.com. Hallmark, American Express, AT&T, and Blue Cross Blue Shield were among several dozen businesses that announced they were cutting off Republicans who challenged the election results, stinging lawmakers who have come to rely on corporate donations through political action committees or PACs. It's not the first clash between the business community and the Trump administration, which lost support from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce this summer. Still, it's a momentous decision for companies to turn off the cash spigot. It's easier to withhold contributions at the start of a new political cycle, said Michael Hiltzik in the Los Angeles Times. No one will really notice the drying up of corporate spending unless it persists past mid-year 2021. It's unlikely it will because the Supreme Court's 2010 ruling for Citizens United opened the door to unlimited corporate contributions, and companies have gotten used to taking full advantage. In 2020, corporate political contributions reached $3.2 billion. Business have had plenty of chances to change this, yet they have consistently opposed shareholder resolutions calling for disclosure of political spending. Until something is done about that, I suspect it will soon be back to business as usual. Intel CEO fired as top chip maker struggles. Intel fired its chief executive, Bob Swan, this week after the company lost its status as America's highest-valued chipmaker and got dumped by Apple, said Asa Fitch in the Wall Street Journal. Under Swan, who became interim CEO in 2018, Intel's technological prowess has fallen well behind that of foreign chip companies like Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company and Samsung. Apple ended a 15-year partnership under which Intel supplied the processors for its Mac computers. Last month, the activist hedge fund Third Point sent a letter to Intel's chairman saying the company's woes could threaten the U.S. tech industry. Finance. Deutsche Bank ends business with Trump. Two of Donald Trump's longtime lenders cut ties with the president this week, said Sophie Alexander in Bloomberg.com. Deutsche Bank, the lender Trump turned to when others abandoned him after several bankruptcies, will not conduct any further business with Trump and his company. Rosemary Vraublik, Trump's banker, resigned from Deutsche Bank last month. Trump still owes the bank $300 million. Signature Bank, a New York lender that's long catered to his family, said it's closing two personal accounts in which Trump held about $5.3 million. Boeing 737 MAX returns to U.S. service. Boeing 737 MAX jets returned to the skies last month after a worldwide grounding that lasted for 20 months, said Leslie Josephs in CNBC.com's American Airlines was the first U.S. carrier to reintroduce the MAX after it was cleared by regulators, with a flight from Miami International Airport to New York's LaGuardia. United Airlines and Southwest said they expect to start MAX flights again soon. Boeing also avoided criminal prosecution in a settlement with the Justice Department that requires it to pay $2.5 billion in fines and compensation. Airbnb shutting down all inauguration bookings. Airbnb canceled all reservations in the Washington metro area over inauguration week after reports of plans to disrupt the proceedings, said Emily Davies in the Washington Post. The home sharing platform also blocked new bookings after the FBI warned of more armed protests being planned for Washington. Airbnb grew alarmed after discovering accounts for numerous individuals that had been involved in criminal activity at the Capitol building. The company said it would ban anyone associated with the insurrection and would reimburse guest and host for the canceled bookings. Stocks soar on tips from TikTok touts. Social media platforms TikTok and Twitter have become the new Wall Street trading desk, said Caitlin McCabe in the Wall Street Journal. Perhaps nowhere is the enthusiasm for the market greater these days than in online communities, where young investors eagerly piggyback on each other's ideas and trades. As of this month, posts tied to hashtag stock market had garnered over 8 million views on TikTok, triple the figure from June. Gavin Mayo, a 19-year-old student at the University of North Carolina, says he typically spends anywhere from 1 to 5 hours a day scrolling TikTok, YouTube, and other platforms for ideas on what to trade while churning out video snippets to more than 60,000 of his TikTok followers. A small number of companies have gained an outside profile on TikTok. Videos featuring NIO, a Chinese electric car maker whose stock has risen 15-fold in 1 year, have gained 35 million views. Next, markets, investors struggle to navigate U.S.-China rivalry. Days before Donald Trump left the White House, new rules about investing in China companies flummoxed financial institutions and investors, said Eric Platt in the Financial Times. Last week, the New York Stock Exchange announced it would heed an executive order banning investment in companies that have ties to the Chinese army. The exchange then dropped its plans to delist three Chinese tech firms days later, then reversed course again under pressure from the Trump administration. Further whipping the investors, the U.S. also threatened to add Chinese mega firms Alibaba and Tencent to the U.S. investment blacklist before he left office. Many funds aren't even attempting to decipher the swiftly shifting rules and are just cutting stakes in Chinese companies. A transition in the White House may not alter this dynamic. This is a rivalry that is likely to be with us regardless of the change in the U.S. administration, said one fund manager. Some of the year's best-performing mutual funds are still losing customers at a record pace, said Michael McDonald and Annie Massa in Bloomberg.com. Will Danoff's $134 billion Fidelity Country Fund returned 32% last year, nearly 15 percentage points better than the S&P 500. But investors yanked a net $23.4 billion out of the fund this year. By contrast, more than $200 billion poured into exchange-traded funds that are now on course to permanently supplant human decision makers. Active managers with stellar records are struggling to attract new money over the cheaper alternatives. Fidelity charges 85 cents per $100 invested in contra fund, while passive investment in an ETF that tracks the S&P 500 can cost as little as 3 cents per $100. buying a car without the dealer hassle. It took a pandemic to drag the car buying process into the 21st century, said Joanne Mueller in Axos.com. For years, purchasing an automobile had remained stubbornly low-tech, thanks to car dealerships protected by state franchise laws and worried about missing opportunities to upsell customers. But after the COVID-19 outbreak, dealers had little choice but to embrace a new model. Many have added software that allows customers to browse inventory, apply for credit, and choose a payment schedule. Others even offer virtual test drives to show off in-car technology and touchless vehicle deliveries to shoppers at home. Surprisingly, dealerships have been more profitable than ever. Online customers know exactly what they want, and the typical 3-hour showroom visit has been reduced to a 15-minute online purchase. The ongoing Bitcoin frenzy. Bitcoin continued its record surge in the first week of the new year, said Arjun Karpel and Ryan Brown in CNBC.com. The digital coin hit $40,000 last week to lift the entire cryptocurrency market above $1 trillion for the first time, as more investors fear missing out on opportunities to make a quick, easy gain from the bull run. Bitcoin's value surged 40% in the past 12 months. Investors have tapped Bitcoin as a safe haven asset and hedge against inflation concerns as governments around the world embark on large-scale fiscal stimulus programs. A recent research note from J.P. Morgan said Bitcoin could hit $146,000 in the long term as it competes with gold as an alternative currency. Charity of the Week. Around the world, the pandemic has not only put stress on medical systems, but also left hospitals running increasingly short of funds. Friends Without a Border, FWAB.org, offers free quality and compassionate health care to patients in Cambodia and Laos. FWAB operates 3 facilities, a children's hospital in each country, and a cluster of floating medical clinics in the isolated fishing villages of northern Cambodia. While coronavirus cases in these countries remain low, economic disruptions have caused increases in child malnutrition and the need for treatment. Since its inception in 1993, FWAB has treated 2 million children and become one of the most essential healthcare institutions in Cambodia. In addition to providing aid at its own clinics and hospitals, FWAB also trains doctors and nurses to serve in other parts of the region. And next in local news, Kane Realty joins Park City South Project near Dix Park. Up-and-coming Raleigh developer Merge Capital is partnering with one of the region's most established players to develop its Park City South development by Dorothea Dix Park. This month, Merge Capital and Kane Realty Corporation filed plans for the first phase of Park City South, calling for an 11-story mixed-use development at 927 South Saunders Street. We're really excited to partner with them as one of the most experienced developers in Raleigh who cares as much about the community as we do, said Chris Woody, Merge Capital Managing Partner. We both really wanted to see a project that was complementary to Dix Park and worthy of the location it's in, being the gateway to downtown and such a high-profile area and a neighborhood that's changing, and we want to be a part of that. Woody says Merge Capital has developed long-term personal and professional relationships with Kane Realty. Plans for the first phase call for 10 stories of residential space, above ground level retail, in a 371,640 square foot building. Woody says that beyond what's included in the site plan, there's little else that has been finalized, though he hopes to have more information in the coming months. Filings with the city call for 336 residential units. Conditions require at least 5% of the units to be no greater than 550 square feet. Below the residential space, plans call for 28,500 square feet of retail space. Site plans list restaurant, retail, fitness, and co-working spaces, among others. Plans also call for the construction of a greenway on the site. We're full speed ahead, and we're hopeful that we'll see some action by the end of this year, Woody says. The site was rezoned, the site at the end of 2019, allowing for the development of up to 1 million square feet of office and industrial space. 312,500 square feet of retail space and 152,800 square feet of hotel space and 975 residential units. Employers Association has eyes on new administration. The change in administration in Washington, D.C. has employers carefully watching as President Joe Biden looks at new policies after 4 years of the Trump administration. You can get dramatic swings in the direction with the change in D.C., and we expect that to accelerate, said Bruce Clark, who is co-CEO of Catapult, a human resources firm formed by the merger of Capital Associated Industries of Raleigh and the Employers Association of Charlotte. For example, that could include new standards when it comes to the pandemic and the workplace. The Biden administration is pushing for a minimum wage bump to $15, which Clark says would be traumatic for some employers if the raise went straight to $15. I don't begrudge anyone making $15 an hour, he said, but he notes that such a hike would make an impact, especially for employers with low margins. We've run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I'm Pat Perry, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.